It is time now for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, who has come wearing a very snazzy vest, I must say.
Yes, all kind of travel destinations.
All kinds of travel destinations. That's really cool.
Because we travel in this show through history.
Through history.
Time. That's right.
I mean, if there's one thing that quantum physics teaches us, it's that time and space are two sides of the same coin. So
that's
traveling
right.
through time is traveling through space.
That's right.
And vice versa.
Well, and speaking of that kind of travel, I think it's appropriate that we recognize. Isn't that a good segue?
No, I'm just thinking of all the quantum physicists that are like banging their heads on the steering wheel right now. You've gotten it all wrong,
But they will keep tuning in because they'll say, what are they going to do this week? All right, here is what I want to celebrate today. It is World Radio Day.
That's
this
right.
This is a UNESCO sponsored day every February 13th. And it's to celebrate World Radio. And I can't think of a better place to do that than here at WCHL.
We love World Radio.
Oh, and not only that, but you exemplify what World Radio is all about. Not only broadcasting locally, but you can go on to chapelboro.com and it's streamed worldwide. But I also found out, to my utter delight, that I could go and say, Alexa, live stream or something, tune in. That's it. Alexa, tune in, WCHL, and there you
go. It pops right up. It's
wonderful.
Great. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I wonder, like, how can you do that anywhere? Like, can people, I know you can stream on the web from anywhere, but if you're in Cheyenne, Wyoming, for instance, can you say, Alexa, tune in WCHL, and it'll still know what WCHL is?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. Anywhere in the world where you can plug in Alexa and whatever language she speaks, you can get WCHL.
I like
Isn't
it.
That exciting?
That's really cool. Yeah.
It really is. It was great fun listening and going, oh, there's my radio station. That
finally, we got a use for all of that smart surveillance technology that we keep installing in our houses for no reason.
Well, you can press the red button to turn it off if you want to, but why would you ever want to turn off
WCHL? I don't trust that red button either.
That's right.
I've seen 2001. That red light is still listening.
But, you know, that's a good thing. And when we celebrate history, we can't help but look at the kind of communication that helps make history happen today, which is so fast that we are staying right on top of it, like the news stories about Silent Sam and what was happening there. That has just evolved and has taken off and communicating
everywhere. And the way that we communicate with each other has such a profound impact on how news happens and how events happen and how history happens. I mean, you got the classic example of the Battle of New Orleans, which happens, what was it, 2 weeks after the war ended because it just took the news that long to get down there?
That's right.
Yeah, and now none of that. Like, now you get the news instantly and it's all over the world.
Well, if there's anything written about the virus that's out there, a lot of it will be how instantaneously, once it was known, immediate steps were taken, thanks in large part to communication. If there's any good that comes out of that, is that instantly plans were in place and began to be implemented.
Yep.
Once it was known, something was different.
Yeah.
And that's what history is about, is us reclaiming this. So we are a little bit of like time travelers, but it's a wonderful thing to know that radio has been redefined, and WCHL is on the cutting edge of that all the time, and all the people here are. And that's why I'm such a fan of the radio station and the people who work here, because it's one of the best in the world now. It's local to planet Earth, I think, is probably the best way to put it.
And I'm just being silent right now because we're totally pulling all of this for promotional spots
excellent.
Later on. Yeah, this is great. Keep it coming.
Keep
it coming.
I have a long list of the people that work here next week. But there are some really good things that happened this week too. One is, now speaking of international. Now, we hear about the metric system. We go, oh, yeah, that's, we have inches and we have centimeters. And,
right.
Well, the metric system was adopted by the National Bureau of Standards on February 10th, 1964. But it goes back a long ways. This has been a continuing saga. In fact, as I did some research on this, I was really fascinated to see that the Constitution gives Congress the authority to determine standards of measure.
Right.
And over in Hillsboro, the former museum that's closed now, and, you know, whatever happens with that, it does have this set of weights and measures. And, you know, we think of civilization and wars and battles. Sometimes it's simply what are you measuring things with? Is your bushel the same as my bushel?
Right,
and so
there's
standard established standards. And Hillsborough, by virtue of being a county seat back in 1754, for a number of years, this is where a number of these pieces of weights and measure were established. In fact, I remember somebody from the National Institute coming there and being astounded, saying he had never seen anything like that collection.
Oh,
so hopefully
cool.
The public will get a chance to see that again.
One of the things that really that I just love about weights and measures and the way that they developed is you've got the standards in Hillsborough and you've got similar things in other towns and other counties.
Yes.
And it wasn't until shockingly recently, like I think the 19th century, that you really started to see uniformity in how different communities and different towns and states and countries measured things. It goes back to communication.
Oh,
there wasn't that instantaneous communication. So if a bushel meant one thing in Hillsborough and it meant something slightly different in Richmond, as long as everyone in Hillsborough is measuring it the same way and Richmond's measuring it the same way, that's all that matters.
Well, it's not like ancient history. The Mars orbiter that was supposed to land there, it had somebody used a different set of measurements on one crucial piece, and it caused it to descend and burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, talking about how let's get standardized on this. But here is something really fascinating. In 1793, Thomas Jefferson apparently requested artifacts from France that could be used to adopt a metric system. But this is how history changes things. The fellow who was charged with this, Joseph Dombey, was sent from France with a standard kilogram. Okay, sounds simple enough. Mm. Except before reaching the United States, his ship was blown off course. He was captured by pirates, and he died in captivity.
Whoa.
And that that measurement does not make its way to the United States at that time, and it delays things. Now, that's just part of the, you know, looking at this history and go, this is, you wonder, how did this happen? Well, this is why there is some of this difference that goes on between Europe and the United States.
I mean, there was a war going on in 1792, Also, like, also underlying all of that is the fact that it's Thomas Jefferson reaching out to France, because that's there's probably also some politics going on there, Jefferson's party was the pro-French party and the Federalists were the pro-British party and all that was happening. So it's interesting,
time,
like,
too,
the different iterations of France
had helped the American colonies become the United States. There was a sense of, like, that's a good standard to go with. But that took some time.
It's such a weird part of the story, because France had helped America in the Revolutionary War, so we're grateful to France for helping stand up for these values, but it's the monarchy that helped us, and then the French people overthrew the monarchy based on the same values, so who do we even support in the French Revolution? Like, it must have been such a crazy time to be.
Oh, very much so. It makes
no such thing as a non-crazy time to be alive, I think.
Well, I remember the last millennium.
Back in my day, we didn't have millennials.
They invented dirt. Water made mud, and that was a big, mess. But that's exactly right. And then in the 20th century, there was again a movement in the early part of the 20th century, let's do metric. And it was manufacturers that said, no, because we have established standards for measurements based on feet and inches. And no, but of course, now we go another century later and you see things that are in both inches and metric, and so it's happening, but slowly.
What I don't get are recipes. Like, there's so many recipes that are based
on
cups and ounces and tablespoons and teaspoons, and if you change that to the metric system, we'd adjust, but those recipes would be just a little bit different.
A little different, yes.
The brownies would never taste the same.
No, and I've tried some that way, and I've tried to guess. If I come across a recipe from Europe and it's in that metric, I'll go, I don't know.
Not a fan of these metric brownies.
The bread doesn't quite come out the same way it should.
Not in the Netherlands, they taste real different. I don't understand why that is.
Well, they have other things. They have coffee shops there that are a little different. And that may be another thing. Okay. In addition to metric and how we measure things, all right, there is talking about measurement of, everything is just tripping into new things. Here is one. February 11th, 1990 is a date that we should remember. That's when Nelson Mandela gets released from the South Africa prison after serving 27 and a half years.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of incredible. In 1993, he's awarded the Peace Prize along with President de Klerk for ending apartheid, and then in 1994, elected president of South Africa. You know, one of the interesting things, even though I was listening to Bookwatch yesterday, I was thinking about the poem Invictus that mm-hmm. actually Mandela claims as being inspirational. And, you know, the first and last lines are words that are so good for any time. And I'm just going to read them. And this was written by William Ernest Henley. And it goes like this: out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. And then the last verse goes, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. You know, those are profound words for any time, and they've inspired lots of people.
Love that line.
To think that Nelson Mandela, that inspired him, and how he came out of prison, and he could have become a bitter person, instead he becomes a better person, and it becomes an inspiration to us all.
Yeah. That's absolutely. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, couple more.
What okay.
We got?
Well, here's a good question that you may always want to ask is, what is the world's smallest country?
That's the Vatican, right?
It is
yes.
The Vatican. Ding, 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 ding. We should have a bell here. That's right. 1929. This is during the time of Mussolini. Isn't this wild? And Italy establishes this treaty called the Lateran Treaty that makes the Vatican a sovereign state, even though it's incredibly tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah, it's less than the size of Manhattan. That's to give you some idea of the scope of
size.
Well,
I mean, it's inside Rome, so, I mean, it's,
it's
smaller, smaller than a city.
Now, here's another one I really like, and that was February 11th, 1929. Here's another one on February 11th that I think is really important for us to remember, and it's a name we may not always have heard, Harriet Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
She is born on February 11th, 1813, born in Edenton, North Carolina, and she spent her life in slavery. And then after years of suffering terrible abuse, she escapes to a paternal grandmother who is living a block away and hides in her attic for 7 years. See, she's like the Anne Frank of North Carolina. It's really an astonishing tale. She writes about it later in a book called Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, published in 1861. And then she does gain her, she does escape via a maritime underground railroad,
mm-hmm.
and then gains her full and legal freedom 10 years later. It's kind of an amazing story that's a forgotten part of North Carolina stories, but, you know.
That's a fascinating story.
It really
and it's
is.
A great book. I got a chance to read Jacobs's book in college.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I was
wow.
taking a class on like 19th century American literature or something
oh
like that.
My goodness.
A fascinating story.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
You know, think of the time when it was published, how pivotal, again,
mm-hmm.
that is to reshaping the narrative of the Civil War to something not about states' rights, but about human rights.
Yes.
About civil rights and how important that is.
Yep. Speaking with Scott Washington, wrapping it up with one more.
Okay.
What's our...
Well, here is one that we probably wouldn't know except for a movie. I mean, we'd be thinking about it today.
Oh, that's most of my knowledge.
Yes. Well, then everyone may not appreciate how this song kind of lodges in the brain. It's Sonny Bono, who was born in 1935, and he writes a song that's used later on in the movie Groundhog's Day as the wake-up music for Bill Murray's character Phil Connors in that story about Phil Connors, Bill Murray and Andy McDowell, and called Groundhog's Day. And, of course, it's the classic I've Got You, Babe.
Of course.
Yes. Something that we will not hear played very often.
I was
going
to say, if I had it to just cue up, I would hit it. But, yeah. All we've got is Masterpiece Theater. That's all I got. It's the only thing we can play on the station. That's literally.
And people are saying, thank God for that.
History Matters. As always, Scott Washington, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.